And that's a terrible mistake.
Oh, man.
Terrible.
We're all set. We're rolling.
Buck, I want to go back. There's a great ball player that we haven't talked about. And before we get to 46 and 47 and the real change in baseball, take us back and talk about some of the wonderful players who were playing as you came along. Oscar Charleston is the one I want to talk about, but obviously Gibson was playing, Satchel was playing. Talk about the guys that were dominant when you first came along.
See, Oscar, to me, the greatest major league ball player ever lived, to me, was Willie Mays. But the best baseball player I've ever seen, Oscar Charleston. Oh, you should have seen him. See, Oscar Charleston could steal you 50 bases. Oscar Charleston could hit you 35 or 40 home runs. Oscar Charleston. Well, I tell you what the old timers say. The closest thing to Oscar was Willie. Willie Mays, and you know.
What did he look like? Well, how big
that
was?
Built like a chest. Big chest, got a good chest, and neat, keen in the waist. Must weigh, say, 190 pounds, about 5'11". Yeah, great body, could play.
Was speed a thing that those guys had? That
well, and this is it, most of the time now. You Negro League was built on speed.
Yeah,
quickness. We would steal a run. That's what they call it. You steal a run.
And you could all bunt. One of the guys that played with you guys said everybody in the Negro League could bunt.
That was it. I don't care if you were a home run hitter, you had to know how to bunt.
And the pitchers had to know how to field, otherwise you'd bunt them out of the league.
Yeah.
Was that just a matter of style, or was it the Negro Leaguers trying to put a different spin on baseball? Was that your stamp, your identity, the speed? Part of the game?
Yeah, we thought that's what baseball was all about. That's what baseball was all about. The quickness. See, but this was an era of great pitching. Great pitching. So actually, you'd get a run any way you could get a run. Right now, you don't worry about a five run. You've downed five runs. You can get 10 runs in an inning, you know, the way they're pitching now. But during that time, no. See, 1-0 ball game, that's a good ball game. 2-3-2 ball game, these are great ball games. Of course, the pitching were outstanding.
Talk about the pitching. I mean, we know about Satchel, but some of the other great pitchers like Leon Day and,
Bully Joe Rogan, They were just great, had great stuff and knew how to pitch. You had to know how to pitch. And see, the majority of pitchers in the major leagues were good athletes, period.
Yeah. A lot of those guys played the outfield when they were
playing other positions. See, Bully Joe Rogan played the outfield when he wasn't pitching and hit in the fourth spot. That kind of guy.
Yeah.
Leon Day. Wasn't pitching, he played the outfield.
How about left-handed pitchers? Most of these guys were right. Who were the great left-handed pitchers?
Oh, man, Willie Foster. Willie Foster was a great left-handed pitcher. Tiant. You remember, you know Tiant? His daddy.
Yeah.
Great screwball pitcher, left-hander. Slim Jones, Philly Stars, great left-hander. He and Satchel had duels together.
But take us on a typical road trip with the Monarchs when you would meet up with some of the teams that were the great rivals, like say when you came east. Just to describe what one of those trips was like, the bus trip, the game, the atmosphere, and the ballparks.
Well, and let's go with the bus trips. A lot of people thought when we would come to New York to play, we would leave Kansas City and go to New York. No, this was planned. It might take us a month to get to New York. You know, we played our way.
Yeah.
We played our way. All right, if we're going to New York now, we're going to play St. Louis. We're going to play Indianapolis. We're going to play Kansas City. We're going to play Cleveland. We played our way, all the way. Then we played on into Pittsburgh. Then we over to Washington. We're in Philadelphia, Newark, New York. It wasn't like a lot of people thought. We just left here on the bus and took that long trip. No, we played our way there, and it was outstanding. It was outstanding, see, because we had interleague play 2 weeks out of the year. The teams in the American League, that was from Cleveland back to Kansas City, we would go east, and 2 weeks they would come west, so everybody could see all of the teams. And oh, you talking about some games, and I remember playing in, see, my favorite ballpark to play in, Yankee Stadium. We playing at Yankee Stadium, man. We got people all over people there. I remember we going to the Yankee Stadium. We staying at the Woodside Hotel. The first time I ever rode in a Rolls Royce, might be the last time. I don't ever remember one again. Bill Bojangles was a part owner of the New York Black Yankees. I rode from the ballpark back to the hotel in his Rolls Royce. Yeah. That was something. And
he was the great tap dancer.
Yeah, that's who Bojangles was. Yeah. And I'm just saying this like the young people would know, but the young people wouldn't even know about Bojangles, would they?
I remember seeing him tap dance on the dugout roof.
That's right. That's what he would do. And I tell you what he could do. He could run. He could run backwards just about fast as the average guy could run.
How about running? Talk about Cool Papa and some of the guys that were, Willie Wood, some of the guys that were very fast.
Oh, Cool Papa just about fast as anybody that ever ran. And Satchel said Cool was so fast he could cut out the light and get in bed before the room got dark. And wait, this actually happened. See, you don't have to fictionalize actually Satchel, Cool Papa, Josh Gibson, thing like that. Just, if you tell the truth, it's better than the fiction. Satchel and they were with the Pittsburgh Crawfords. Satchel and Cool Papa. And they're roommates. They get to the hotel that night, and Cool go up to the room, Satchel downstairs picking on the clerk or somebody. And Cool gets upstairs and he hit the light switch, and it was a few seconds before the light came on. He hit it again. It was a few seconds before it went off. It's a shortage there. He said, uh-huh. When Satchel comes up, Satchel gets in bed. Cool stood by the light switch. He said, you know what, Roomy? I can hit this light switch and get in bed before the room get dark. He said, Cool, you're fast, but you ain't that fast. He said, I'll bet you your meal money. Satchel bit. And so naturally, Cool hit the light, jumped in bed, and then the light went out because that shortage was in the light, see. But Satchel always told about Cool was so fast he could cut off the light and get in bed before the room got dark, but he never told about the shortage.
It really happened.
Yeah.
And how about Gibson? You know, he's the guy that we hear was the greatest catcher who ever lived, and of course, none of us ever saw him, but talk about him.
And great catcher, great, great power hitter. See, they talk about now, like McGuire and Sosa, good hitters, great power hitters. But Ruth, Josh Gibson, not only great power hitters, they were great hitters. Yeah, 350 or better, lifetime batter. They were great hitters, not just power. And but that Gibson, I'm a boy in Sarasota. And what we would do is, the teams would come to town at Payne Park in Sarasota. We would outside the ballpark, and while they're getting batting practice and hit the ball over the fence, we'd get the ball, and when the ball game was over, we would come around to the front and sell them to the tourists. And so this day, the Yankees in town. Well, you know, a pine tree is hard to climb. We cut up two befores and made a ladder up the pine tree so we could get up, go up, and look over the fence. This day the Yankees in town, and I'm out there, and I hear the crack of the bat, the sound of the bat. I never heard that sound before. And instead of me running for the ball, I ran up the ladder. And here's a sucker with a barrel chest and skinny leg, but with the sweetest swing I'd ever seen. That was Babe Ruth hitting that ball. I don't hear that again. I'm with the Monarchs now in 1938. We play in the Homestead Grave, Griffith Stadium, Washington, D.C. And to our ball games, now, the people came to see batting practice and infield practice, just like they come now to see Sosa or McGuire filling up the ballpark to see them in batting practice. So this is the way it was. Washington's a park full of people. Well, we changing clothes in the grades, getting batting practice. I got on nothing but my jock. And I hear that sound. And man, I ran down the ramp. I ran out on the field. Here's a pretty black sucker with shoulders like this, a knee in the waist. That was Josh Gibson hitting that ball. And I'm standing out there, and the people start laughing and clapping. And I don't know what they're clapping for. They say, "Buck," and look down. I got on nothing but my jock standing out in, on the ball field. Anyway, I don't hear the sound again, Mr. Commissioner. I'm here. I'm scouting for the Cubs. I'm scouting the Royals. And I'm upstairs. And I said, "Well, let me go down here. Royals going to get batting practice. Let me go down." I opened the door to go down, and I heard that sound again. I rushed down on the field. I wanted to see who was hitting that ball. Here was another pretty black sucker, Bo Jackson, hitting that ball. I heard that sound. That's three times I heard it. I've been in baseball 60-some years. I'm staying here. I want to see that, hear that sound again. Your son might, you know, might do it. Somebody, but I'm waiting to hear that sound. So this was, but Josh Gibson, man.
But he was a very good defensive catcher, good arm.
Could do it all.
Yeah.
Could do it all. See, Campanella never started an all-star game in the Negro League.
Yeah.
Josh Gibson.
Let's go back to or forward to 1946, and could you sort of smell in the wind that things were changing and that there was going to be a real breakthrough in baseball? Obviously, Jackie was here. He was talking about it.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Commissioner. See, when Branch Rickey signed Jackie Robinson to that contract, that was the beginning of the modern-day civil rights movement. That was before Brown versus the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. That was before Sister Rosa Parks said, "I'm tired today, I ain't going to the back of the bus." Martin Luther King was a sophomore at Morehouse at the time. That started that ball to rolling. Yeah, yeah. See, and I tell you, Mr. Commissioner, I said, modern-day civil rights movement, because, you know, the civil rights movement started way down in Egypt land. Yeah, yeah, God needed a man he called Moses.
Mm-hmm. But back to 46, 47, when Jackie signed with the Dodgers, mm-hmm. did you know that it was going to be a major breakthrough, that it was going to happen?
Yeah, sure. We knew it had to happen.
And did you think you might have a chance? I mean, did everybody in the leagues sort of dream?
Yeah, the younger guys did.
Yeah.
With me, I wasn't thinking that way as far as me having a chance of playing in the major leagues. No, I was past my prime. But I didn't think that way. But you know, but what I wanted to do, now I'm thinking, now here's a chance for me to develop some young black ball players to play Major League Baseball.
How about managing? Did you think that there might be room for a black manager?
I knew it was going to happen eventually after they started playing baseball in the major league, but I knew they weren't going to take a manager off of a black team to go manage in the major league.
And did you think that it would be the end of the Negro Leagues? I mean, were people able to see that as this happened, this thing that we've loved and have been part of is really not going to...
Well, and I knew that was the death knell of Negro League baseball. See, this is something we've been hoping for all the time, because we thought if they integrated baseball, they were going to start integrating other things. See? And to tell you the truth, it hurt us in a way, because, see, I stayed at the Streets Hotel. The man that owned the Streets Hotel was black. The man that owned the bar in the Streets Hotel was black. The man that owned the restaurants in the Streets Hotel was black. The man that owned the barbershop in the Streets Hotel was black. So actually, see, when the Monarchs were in town, then people just coming from Omaha, Topeka, Wichita, all of these towns, St. Joe, coming here to baseball. So they're spending a lot of money in the black neighborhood. See, after integration, we lost all of this. Now, Mr. Street at the Streets Hotel, he can't compete with the Mulebach Hotel. Yeah, so he's out of business. Yeah, the mother and father grocery store couldn't compete with the chains. They're out of business. Mm-hmm.
Buck, would 1946 have been possible if the players of your era and your prime hadn't made the barnstorming and the Bob Feller All-Stars versus Satchel Paige All-Stars successes? I mean, you put on exhibitions that brought both races together. Could you talk about that a little bit, and did that have anything to
see,
do with paving the way?
What had most to do with it was this. When we played in Yankee Stadium, the 40,000 people, Branch Rickey was playing over there in his ballpark, 20,000 people the same day. You understand? And 99 9/10% of those 40,000 we got in Yankee Stadium, black. That's a brand new clientele. And Rickey was an astute businessman. Mm-hmm. He saw this. He saw this. And this is a capitalistic society. Money talks.
But what about the fact that the big league owners voted against integrating baseball? The commissioner obviously played a role along with Rickey. Mm-hmm. Did you know about that? Were you guys aware that the vote had been taken, but Chandler jumped in and Rickey mm-hmm. had stepped forward? I mean, that was all common knowledge.
Yeah, well, and one thing about it is we wouldn't have had a chance with Landis if he had been the commissioner at the time. See, but we got this guy. Now is a chance to move. But Rickey saw a chance that he could do this now. And actually, I could understand the Yankees, Washington, the Major League ball players not wanting to integrate for the simple reason was actually, see, we played in the Yankees. You know that 40,000 people we got in Yankee Stadium? That just didn't happen once. That happened often, you know, because all the teams were going in. But this happened, and see, the Yankees got the percentage of using their ballpark, got all the concessions. Not only there in Yankee Stadium, they had the franchise in Newark. The Newark Ball Club played in their ballpark. Right. They got all the concessions, everything there. Kansas City, Yankee franchise. And this was our home field. They're getting all the concessions here and getting everything, all of it. So it was money. The major leaguers was making money from Negro League baseball.
How about the white guys? Were they worried about losing their jobs? Do you think they were starting to worry?
Well, and not so much the all-stars that we played, because we playing the best. Right. The guys that was worried about losing the job was not the middle player, right. Not the super guy. Not the super guy. He wasn't worried because he's going to play anywhere. Yeah, regardless who plays, he's the top ball player. But you had a lot of guys that would have lost the job.
Tell us about your reaction when you heard that Jackie was going to play for the Dodgers.
I mean, you want in the Dodger organization?
No, when he first...
But with the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Well, in Havana, Cuba. I'm in Havana. I'm playing with Havana. And Branch Rickey, you know, took the team to Havana for spring training because of the segregation in the South. And there was, that's when I met Jackie and his wife there. And see, we would go to see them in the morning to get their work out, and they would see us when we would play at night. Mm-hmm. And so I was so happy that this had happened. And look, let me tell you something about that Jackie Robinson. Jackie was different than we were, really. See, Jackie wasn't the best ball player we had in the Negro League, but he was the right guy because, see, Hilton Smith told me this, because I was in the service when Jackie was in 1945. We've been going to a filling station in Oklahoma for 20 years. We've never gone to the restroom because the sign says white men only. Played that night in the town, and next day we go to the filling station, and the man comes out, "Oh, you boys played a great game last night. You fill up the pockets, usually put on a great show, put the hose in the tank." Jackie gets off the bus and started toward the restroom. The man said, "Where you going, boy?" "I'm going to the restroom." "Boy, you knew you can't go to that restroom." Jackie said, "Take the hose out the tank." Now the man thought a little, see, because we got a 50-gallon tank on this side, we got a 50-gallon tank on that side. He ain't gonna sell that much gas to one customer until we got back there again. You know what he said? "You boys go to the restroom, but don't stay long." Yeah. But the gist of that story is this. From that day on, the Monarchs never got gas at a station that they couldn't go to the restroom. Mm-hmm. They never played in a town that they didn't have a place for them to sleep or a place for them to eat. This is what Jackie did. See, we were acclimated to segregation, but not Jackie Robinson. Mm-hmm. That's what Jackie brought to us.
Now, in your book, you say Connie Johnson, you thought he might have been one of the first to go up. Talk a little bit about him. He obviously was a terrific pitcher.
Yeah, great stuff, great stuff. First met him in Georgia. Yeah, Oscar Charlton was running the ball club. We call it the Toledo Crawfords. And this was a kid pitching on that team, and we saw him pitching there, Connie Johnson. Great stuff, and great fastball, great curveball. Change of speeds, he could pitch, and we thought maybe he would might have been one of the first guys. We thought Monty Irvin might have been one of the guys that might have preceded Jackie.
Yeah. What about Dobie? He was very young.
Yeah, but Dobie too. Dobie, good-looking prospect.
Yeah.
Good-looking prospect. See, we had a lot of guys that could play.
And Newark had a very good team, didn't they?
My lands, yeah. See, Monty, see. The guy on that ball club, see, Monty, Larry Dobie, Don Newcomb, on that ball club.
And they had
Leon Day.
They had the great catcher too, Bisbee.
Biz Mackey. Yeah. Biz Mackey, who the man that actually helped Campy, had a lot to do with Campy's development. They had a great baseball club.
Were they your big rivals?
No, more or less the Grays.
The Grays.
See, because they beat us out in the World Series, 1946. The Grays, I mean, not the Eagles did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, they beat us out in the World
Series. And that was the year just before Dobie went up. And he had a good year, I guess.
He could play. Yeah. He could play. But he was an infielder.
Yeah.
Second base. And they beat us that World Series, but I don't know if their team was better than ours or not, because we could, Satchel Paige, Willard Brown, Ted Strong, top ball players of ours, they were signing up to go to Puerto Rico for the winter to play ball, and they got... They stayed too long, Will, and they couldn't get to the ball game. And we lost that ball game. We had Ford Smith, a pitcher playing outfield. We had guys in these guys' positions that were more or less pitchers, not outfielders.
How many of your Monarchs are in the Hall of Fame? I mean, the guys you played with in the Cooperstown Hall of Fame?
With the Monarch Ball Club would be Rogan. And Satchel, well, we got another one. Hilda Smith going to be in there one day. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Cool Papa played with the Monarchs one time. So did the guy we just put in this year.
Turkey
Stein.
Turkey Stein. And Jackie.
Huh?
And Jackie.
Yeah. See, but now Jackie went in the Hall of Fame, though, the Major League Hall of Fame. But these other guys, Negro League.
You wrote in your book that you had 17 Monarchs advance to the Major Leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote in.
Yeah, well, in and this is what we started doing then. See, after that integration, Now, who had really hurt is the Willie Wells and Lenny Pearson, and these are ball players that could still play, but they're 30 years old, in the prime. But the major leaguer didn't want these guys that old. So Satchel went in because he was Satchel. Satchel went in because Bill Veeck knew he could draw. That was the reason Satchel went in. But these other guys could play. Now, we don't want them either now. No, because we wanted the Ernie Banks. We wanted the guys that we could sell to the major leagues. So now they had no place to play. They went to Canada to play, Mexico, Cuba, different places to play. They couldn't play here.
That must have broken their hearts.
Of course.
Was age the only litmus test, though, when you look at Jackie, Californian, college educated, Larry Doby, grew up on the East Coast, college educated. Was there a social class distinction, if you will, where the Southern kids off the farms and all, were they treated with the same, did they have the same access to the majors, do you think?
Yeah, if you could play.
If you could play.
Yeah, if you could play. If you could play. Yeah.
So age was the bigger
Thompson,
factor than background.
That, yeah, see, most or less, age, see, the teams wanted the black player because they started signing the Ernie Banks and these guys. But the older guys, they didn't want the older guys for the simple reason of age. If you got a guy, say he's 32 years old, he's going to play with you 2 years and he's through. But if you get the kid at 18, 19 years old, because that's what you wanted.
What about the Yankees? Now, they were a great team in the 40s. They won the World Series in 47. No blacks. None in 48. None in 49. Here you have 49. You got the Dodgers with Jackie and Newcomb and Campanelle, mm-hmm. and still the Yankees were all white. What did you guys think of that? Did you notice?
And one thing about it, we knew one day that the Yankees were gonna come through, but the Yankees didn't need a black ball player. Hey, the Yankees really didn't need a ball player. The Yankees filling up every ballpark they played in. See, and because, you know, the St. Louis Browns signed Brown and Thompson to a contract. They thought it was going to be just like Jackie, that the people were going to flock to the ballpark to see him, but they didn't have a good ball club. Yeah.